Hey, I'm Jane Lindholm. I'm the host of Vermont Edition, and I'm just popping in to tell you that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. It was a year ago that the COVID-19 virus became a very real threat to the health and safety of Vermonters. As the virus started spreading around the state, Governor Phil Scott took the unusual step of issuing an executive order asking all non-essential workers to stay home. Many businesses immediately shut down. State employees were asked to work from home. Many downtown areas throughout Vermont became ghost towns. And at the time, the governor said he realized that his stay-home order would create hardships for many people.
I fully recognize the emotional, financial, and economic impact this order will have. But based on the best science and the guidance of our health commissioner and the EPI team, each of the actions we've taken are absolutely necessary. And it's possible, as a forewarning, more may be needed.
Little did we know at the time, in March of 2020, that we were about to witness a worldwide pandemic that would claim more than 500,000 lives in this country and millions more throughout the world. Today on Vermont Edition, we're going to look back at the last year and ask you to let us know how you have weathered this storm. And joining me right now to be part of this discussion is VPR's Mitch Wortlieb. Hey, Mitch, great to have you on the program.
Bob, it is always great to be with you. Thank you so much.
Mitch, I thought we'd start just reviewing some numbers at the start. In the past year, over 16,000 Vermonters have tested positive for COVID. There have been at least 211 deaths. Over 300,000 Vermonters have been tested, and some have been tested a number of times. So there actually have been more than 1 million tests administered in the last 12 months. So far, 130,000 Vermonters have received at least one dose of the vaccine, and 70,000 have gotten both doses. So, Mitch, describe for us what the last year has been for you. I have to say that for many people, you have been the calm during the storm, that your presence in the morning has helped a lot of people get through this year. So, first of all, thank you very much for that.
Well,
and what are your impressions of the last 12 months?
I appreciate you saying that, Bob. Being calm during this storm is not the way I've always felt, if I'm being perfectly honest about it. And I think we should be, because part of what has been great about doing these shows with you over this past year has been the transparency that we've had with our listeners. And if I've sounded calm on the air, great. I think knowing that Vermonters are out there listening has helped me, but I've not always been calm during this storm. I've had some moments of real, what they call rabbit hole spiraling about thinking about this and many of the things that have bothered me. I think the lasting impression of the last 12 months, and we're not through this yet, I think it has to be said as well, we're not done with this. It's wonderful news that you said with some of those numbers that some of the doses are going up. Lots of people are getting the vaccines now, and that's great. But what's impressed me the most over the last 12 months has been that the pandemic itself would have been bad enough. It's horrific. 500,000 Americans have died from this and so many more people around the world. But so much else was going on at the same time, which was incredibly disturbing. The racial reckoning that we're still having in this country was happening during all this. The tumultuous election, the insurrection at the Capitol, the fact that so many people took health precautions as a kind of political statement, I found incredibly disturbing and troubling. And I think that if we're going to think about the pandemic and think about what COVID has meant to everybody over these last 12 months, we have to take in the totality of all of it, all of what I just said in context with that pandemic, and think very hard about who we are as a people and who we want to be moving forward. Because as we come out of this, and I believe we will, and there is going to be that light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, we can't just say, okay, everything's back to normal the way it was and everything's great. Everything wasn't great. And I think that the pandemic just put that into starker relief. And it really, really shone a light on what we still need to deal with this in this country. And that's what I've been carrying with me over these last 12 months.
Mitch, you mentioned from time to time going down the rabbit hole. I think all of us have experienced that at one time or another. What helped you get out of that?
I think what is still helping me get out of that is I'm very fortunate. I have a job to go to every day. A lot of people are working from home, and I know we're going to get into some of that as well because that's been a big change for so many people. Part of my normalcy, my daily life, has been coming to VPR, the job that I love so much, and being able to come here in this safe studio and all the precautions VPR has taken to make sure that it's safe and isolated has helped me get through that an awful lot. I'm lucky enough to have a loving family that I care so much about. They've been wonderful. You know, we've had moments where, you know, we go a little stir crazy, of course, in the house. But my family and my dog, you know, taking those walks, we've talked about this before, the music that I love to turn to, all the things that have brought me joy in life pre-pandemic have been increased. And I have appreciated them so much more over this last year. And it's the appreciation, I think, Bob, that has really helped me get through this more. In other words, listening to that song that I love, taking that walk with my dog, and then taking that moment to reflect in the moment, I am so lucky to be still enjoying this right now. That appreciation and that realizing how tenuous all of this can be, I think that's what's been getting me through this.
Today in the program, we're looking back on the last year of the COVID pandemic. Love to hear your comments of what the year has been like for you. Have there been some positive aspects to it? What have you done to cope to get through it all? Mitch, we got this email from Megan who wrote us, "Here's what I think about the last year. Life in the time of COVID has felt like a very strange time warp. In some ways, it feels like COVID has been surrounding us for a decade as we miss our loved ones and worry constantly. In other ways, it feels as though time has sped up. Let's all stay vigilant and get through this. Let's cut ourselves some slack. We're all doing the very best we can all over the planet to keep kids schooled, seniors protected, and food on the table." That was an email that we got from Megan. You know, let's all cut ourselves some slack. I remember Health Commissioner Mark Levine saying that 6 or 8 months ago, of just saying, you know, if you're worried about something or if you're giving yourself a hard time about something, just remember you're in the middle of a pandemic.
Right.
And maybe you ought to just give yourself a break.
Yeah, we have to remember that. These are not usual times. And if you are feeling like you're not living up to some sort of standard, do remember you are living under extraordinary circumstances right now. And I love what Megan said, too, about the feeling that time is both slowed down and sped up. I've had that sensation so many times over this past year where I'll think, is it March already again? Or, you know, oh, this week has gone on forever. Those two things happening simultaneously, you know, at the same time, it seems impossible. And yet I think so many of us have experienced that. And I think we're all going to look back on these times in this moment in time and remember that's one of the things we'll tell people. It's like, you know, it felt like time was both sped up and slowed down.
That's right. I want to sort of amplify what you said about what has helped you in the last 12 months. As we've talked a couple of times on this program, for me, it's been finding a daily moment of joy. Mm. And it can be just a little itty bitty thing. Like you were talking about going for a walk with your dog,
yep,
interacting with your family. It could be something that just puts a smile on your face for just a minute. For me, to a large degree, it's been video interactions with my grandchildren, them goofing around, singing songs, doing crazy things to entertain me. And, you know, that's, wow, what a difference that makes in the course of the day, because you say, you know, life is still out there, and we just have to take this day today. And if you can find that daily moment of joy, boy, just how great is it? And Mitch, we had a couple of people do some recorded segments for us. They wanted to call in to tell us what the last year has been like for them. We heard from Johanna Nichols of Montpelier, and she questions how she'll be able to adjust to a normal lifestyle again and what the future will be like. But she's very eager to have people back in her life.
I want to be able to be with people, to resume activities, going to concerts and plays and movies and church and the senior center, and being with friends, sharing meals, even if we're outdoors. I think what I want my fellow Vermonters to know about my experience is that I am really grateful for the way that the community where I live has responded so generously and with such kindness.
You know, Mitch, we've heard that from a number of people, that the community support has meant so much to them. Neighbors looking in on neighbors, it has really brought people together.
I think that's so lovely that she talked about the appreciation again of that. And she's so looking forward to being with people again, going to concerts and movies. And, you know, I just have a feeling like when those times happen, that first hug that you give somebody that you haven't seen in the longest time, when you know it's safe to do it, it's going to last a little longer. You know, it's going to be a little tighter. It's going to feel more important. And what you were saying before, Bob, about finding those little moments of joy, you know, even just a little bit, I've found that over the last year that when I have a big belly laugh, maybe it's something that, you know, a funny show I'm watching or a movie with my family, that belly laugh, just it feels more impactful. It feels bigger. It feels better. So I think if we can sort of appreciate those moments and realize what they are and how important they are, maybe more so than in a pre-pandemic time, that will help us get through that, you know, that last stretch that we need to get to, but to come out of this well on the other end.
Let's go to our callers and start with Betsy, who's calling from Essex. Hi, Betsy.
Good
welcome
morning
to the program. Hi.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I've had a wonderful secondary gain from the pandemic. My granddaughter was 4 months old at this time last year, and my daughter lives in Boston, and they were getting ready to shut down, and it was hard for the two of them to work remotely at home with a four-year-old. So they came and stayed with us until the end of July when daycare opened up again in Boston. And it was wonderful. Because I had her through learning to turn over and sit up and crawl and start to walk before she left. So I was fortunate. And we also took up hiking and cleaning out the house of all the superfluous stuff. And I feel ready to reengage with everyone else.
Betsy, you had never been a hiker before? This is something new in your life?
Yes.
Wonderful. And how did you start out? Slowly? Did you go into, you know, big hikes, or how'd that go for you?
Yeah, my next door neighbor is a big hiker, and we're really good friends. And so I took off with her, and we climbed Stowe Pinnacle, and we did Owl's Head, and haven't done Camel's Hump yet, or Mansfield yet.
I'll tell you something. If you can do Stowe Pinnacle, you can do Camel's Hump. Camel's Hump is higher, but Stowe Pinnacle is much steeper. That's one I haven't done in a while. That's wonderful.
Oh. It really was wonderful. And then we've done the Milton Pond and Colchester Pond and the Indian Brook. And it's just been wonderful.
Oh, that's great.
Betsy, thank you so much for your phone call. We really appreciate it. Let's turn to Jonathan, who is calling from Wendell, Massachusetts. Hey, Jonathan, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing great. How are you doing?
Reasonable.
Good answer.
Well, that's pretty good.
Okay, so I was pointing out to the guy I spoke to earlier, I turned 65 within a week of last year when the pandemic began. And I snuck into downtown Boston, had my plastic teeth put in, and I've been getting used to chewing and eating after about 2 years of having no teeth.
Wow, that's a big change in your life. Yeah.
Yeah, major change, right? So I live in a small town of 800 people, and basically it's very COVID-free here, so we're not uptight or anything. But the fact is we all have to find something to do with ourselves just to keep located and busy. So I've been building, carpentry projects inside my basement, you know, day and night, just whenever I'm awake to do it. So I can actually keep engaged. and then serving a small family when I'm not busy doing that.
Wow, it sounds like you found some great ways to spend this time, Jonathan. And has the rest of your community there in that little town of Massachusetts, you know, also found those things to do for the most part, the people you spoke with?
Yeah, we have a two-town food distribution system, which comes works every Sunday and then feeds a whole lot of people. And then basically, you know, largely we're either self-employed or retired up here. So the idea is that everybody's got something that they do with their spare time. We're stripping the inside of our 250-year-old church.
Wow.
So and we're taking the entire insides out and replacing them.
And it sounds like everybody's staying healthy, which is really the most important thing. That sounds great, Jonathan.
Yeah, Jonathan, thanks very much for your phone call. Mitch, we got this email from Paulette in Braintree. Music has kept me going. I'm learning to play the ukulele.
Nice.
And I've been Zooming with friends once a week to play together and keep our spirits up. Music is a lifesaver. I think you can probably identify with that.
Oh, isn't it, though? I mean, I don't play music. It's funny. A lot of people will, you know, assume that I do because I love music so much and talk about it so much and play a lot on the air. But I'm really envious of people that do play music. My daughter has taken up trombone, and let me tell you, she's getting really good. And she loves it. And I love hearing her play the music. So, and I think music, instruments like ukulele are wonderful because that is such a sprightly instrument. Those tunes you get, you know, tiny bubbles, those things. It kind of, you can't help get a smile on your face when you hear the ukulele. It's just lovely. So wonderful, Paulette. Keep it going. Keep on playing that music.
You know, Mitch, I had an interesting experience. I'm an amateur guitar player and have a little band that
you're
I
play. You're better than that, Bob. I've heard you play. Well, you're good. You're good. Well, let's just say it.
You're very kind. But because of the pandemic, the band hasn't been able to play out, which has really been disappointing.
Yeah.
And then I found for a stretch, I want to say it was kind of November, December, that I just didn't pick the guitar up that much. Hmm. And that is a signal to me that that I need to be aware of. And then I found, you know, after the holidays coming into January, I was playing a lot more. And a lot of it is, do I get motivated when I hear a song? Because is there any way that I can learn how to play it?
Mm-hmm.
And once I get a couple of those, I'm back and running again. But I did have that stretch. I wonder if other people had the same experience of playing music or whatever activity, that there was a time perhaps in the last 12 months where you kind of lost interest in it, and then somehow it came back and you were so glad to have it back.
Why do you think you lost that interest, Bob? I'm curious. Is it because you weren't out playing live? You weren't able to be with the band and do that? And I'm just curious.
I think that was a lot of it. Just not even have – we usually practice once a week. And so even losing that, you know, it was like, yeah, I've really lost something here. And I'll be – I'll tell you what brought me out was the Bruce Springsteen album. I started listening to that. I was cranking that in the house all the time.
There you go.
And there were four or five songs that I loved just to play along with, you know, sort of be in the back of the band, the rhythm guitar player in the band.
Mm-hmm.
And that really brought me out. I'm very thankful for the release of that album.
Thank you, boss.
Let's talk to Heather in Starksboro. Hi, Heather. Welcome to the program.
Why, thank you. I have to say, I am COVID unemployed, and I've actually really felt like this year was a blessing. My kids are a senior and a junior in high school, and I got to spend time with them that I wouldn't have had. And then my elder parents that are 81 and 85, I wouldn't have had that time with them either. So even though the financial piece is scary, it's been emotionally and spiritually a real blessing.
Wow. That's...
And that was all.
That's wonderful, Heather. I mean, what did you have your kids also appreciated that extra time with you and your parents?
Maybe
as well?
Not yet. They might later in life. But they're working on that, you know. But you know, at 18 and 17 they don't feel the same, but it's not a time we could have ever had. The meals and the time
right.
together has been wonderful. And my husband has been continuing to work. But I think even he's enjoyed this year that he comes home and everyone's laughing and we're doing painting together and just things that we wouldn't have done because we're at home, and that they've spent time with their grandparents that they wouldn't have had either. And there's no way you could get that time back. And I think we were going way too fast and so disconnected before this that it's bringing us back around to realize we are actually not meant to work the way we were for something that's attainable.
That's what I was talking about before, Heather. I think you just put, you really, really nailed it home there, because we can't just go back to the way things were and say that's good enough. I think a lot of us are realizing, you know what? Working from home is great for some people. Why was I, making this long commute for hours? Or was I working too hard? Was I too much of a workaholic? Have I missed knowing what my kids' lives are like? I'm sorry that you lost your job, but I am glad that you've appreciated so much more this time with your family. That's wonderful. Thank you for that call.
Yes, Heather, thank you very much. Another person we heard from, Mitch, was Carrie Crossman of Vergennes. She says life has been okay, but that she's been very tired and bored during the pandemic. She looks forward to the time when she can get out of the house and engage in outdoor activities with her kids.
So here's looking to the future. We are looking forward to hugs and visiting with friends and play dates and birthday parties and celebrations and just being together with people. And that's what I look forward to. However, we know it's going to be a while before that happens.
Mitch, that's got to be on a lot of people's list here now of the idea of getting outdoors, getting together with neighbors, family members, having that personal interaction means so much to so many people.
I think it's very interesting because a lot of people have automatically gotten outdoors because of the pandemic. It's one of the few things you can do safely. So for people perhaps like myself who enjoy taking long walks in the woods with my dog anyway, even in normal times, and that's an isolated activity, that's fine for me. I think a lot of people are missing that connection that Carrie was talking about there, where you're outside but not just alone with other people, maybe playing touch football or doing something, taking those hikes together with a bunch of people. I think we have to remember that not everybody engages with isolation in the same way. Some people are more prone to it, I think like I am, and then there are people like Carrie who really miss that human connection. So I'm glad that we were able to hear her voice there talking about that because, people say, oh, this is great, you can get outdoors now and do more things. But I think most people who say that are people who don't mind doing things alone anyway to begin with, and it's different for everybody.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to John, who's calling from Randolph. Hi, John. Welcome to the program.
Hi there. Thanks very much. I guess I wanted to just say I've been lucky. I've been able to continue working at home and had never worked at home before all of this started. So that was a big change, but, I've adjusted to that. And I guess some of the ways that, things that we've done as a family to sort of cope have been getting outside. Did a ton of bike riding last summer, especially with my wife and all our kids. So that was a real sort of stress reliever and opportunity to get outside and get exercise. And then, there have been a couple of silver linings. One is that a local writer in town, she started a group through our library, and it was all via Zoom, of course, because she recognized that this was like a historic time and that, we should be documenting this somehow. And so essentially she encouraged us to do some journaling. And I found that to be just really, I had done, a little bit more writing in the last couple of years anyway, but just that idea and that focus was, something, a creative outlet. And, I think she was right in terms of like, this is a really historic period we're going through.
Yes.
And so the idea was to, have us all work on things that at some point, we can go back and look at it or, anyone else could too.
I think that's an amazing thing, John. It's something that I've been hoping people were doing. It sounds like you are, and this librarian in your town definitely spurring the right thing, because it's hard to tell when you're in it. And we're in it right now. day to day, getting by, that's what we all have to do, stay healthy, et cetera. But this is historic. And looking back on this, however many years from now, to have that journal, to have that document to go to and remember these things is going to pay off in ways I think we can't even imagine right now. It's extraordinary. And I'm glad you've been able to do that, even though not everything obviously is perfect.
And John, you mentioned that you've been working at home, and it sounds like that has turned out to be pretty good. Do you envision transitioning back to working in an office in the next couple of months?
Well, that's a great question. I cannot see going back to 5 days at the office. I don't know. That's as hard to imagine now as it was hard to imagine working full-time at home, which is kind of a really interesting like flip on my perspective over the past year. So I work for the state, and the state does have like a telework policy. And I think there's a lot of details that are going to be worked out over the next few months about how we transition back. But, it's clear that it's not going to be like flipping a switch. And, I think state employees generally are working at home now until the end of May is the last that we heard. It's not going to be June 1st. It's back to everyone back to the office. And I don't think it ever will be. And there have been some real efficiencies, I think, realized from this. I mean, there's no reason, I think now has been proven, there's no reason for someone to drive 2 hours to go to a 1 hour meeting somewhere. We've all learned that we can do that, via Zoom or whatever, electronically that we've been able to do that.
Right. John, thanks very much for your phone call. We appreciate hearing from you. Let's talk to Katia in Waterbury. Katia, welcome to the program.
Hi, it's Katia, actually.
Okay.
So our change of this during this pandemic has really been life-altering. My husband and I decided to buy a business, a brick-and-mortar business at that, in October. And we probably would not have done that if the pandemic hadn't happened.
What spurred that decision?
Well, my job, I went down to 50% time, and I wasn't quite sure what was going to happen with that, and the opportunity kind of presented itself. The previous owner was just ready to move on, and that would have happened with or without the pandemic. And so we knew this was going to end one way or another, whether we were all just going to learn to live with masks and sanitizing, or a vaccine would come eventually. And so we just took the chance and went for it.
Wow, that's bold, Katia. That's amazing. And are you? I mean, I know it's maybe you can't tell yet, but are you pleased with the decision? Because it's tough to buy a business, especially brick and mortar one. But are you and your husband glad you did it?
We are. Yeah, it's been awesome. We've had a lot of community support, which is great. People are staying local for lots of things these days, and
yep.
I don't think that will change. I think people really have enjoyed getting to know their community again in small ways, and supporting the local business, knowing that that's what keeps a small town vibrant. So, yeah, it's been really awesome. It's been a steep learning curve for sure, but it's been great.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you very much for that call. Bob, it occurs to me that as Katia was talking about that buying locally, doing things like that, Vermont to me, I may be wrong about this and I don't want to be Pollyanna about it, but Vermont to me seems like the kind of place that is perfectly situated for people who appreciate the local businesses, who appreciate buying local, spending their money in a local restaurant or at a local shop or somebody that makes something locally, because, when things like this happen, that's the kind of thing that's going to keep those businesses open, that lifeline going. And Vermont, to me, seems like the kind of place that is well situated for that eventuality. And I hope it works out for Katia and anybody else that's looking to do something that bold.
Let's talk to Christine, who is calling from Huntington. Hi, Christine. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure. What would you like to share today?
Well, I can share that it's been a positive year for me. I run for the last 15 years or so, off and on, an after school and summer and vacation crafting camp, kind of an open studio deal. And when the pandemic hit, I was able to get that up and running. When our school went back to hybrid learning, I ran a program Monday and Friday mornings and then all day Wednesday. And now we have Wednesday afternoons off. I'm still running the program every Wednesday afternoon. So I have a barn full of kids, and it's been a great thing. It's been a beautiful thing.
Wow, that's a positive story. That's fantastic. When you say you have a barn full of kids there, Christine, I'm guessing everybody's masked up. There's distancing, all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely, there's hand sanitizer all over the place, and they're used to following the rules at school, so it's a pretty easy transition.
Oh, that's great. Excellent.
And how have the kids reacted to all of this?
They're pretty resilient. They really are.
What age groups are we talking about here, Christine?
Elementary.
Yeah, yeah. Kids are amazing. I mean, it really is something to see, they're living through some difficult times right now. It's certainly not easy for a lot of kids who are dealing with remote learning. We know that a lot of kids that don't have access to, the computers and online broadband, et cetera, are really struggling. So we don't want to paint too pretty a picture of this, but kids in general, I think, are stronger than we give them credit for being.
Let's go to Gabrielle in Williston. Hi, Gabrielle. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I'm sharing a couple of ways that I'm encouraged and still kind of on the fence and trying not to become discouraged. But one of the ways I've been encouraged is that the pandemic has galvanized some community members into organizing and doing some really meaningful solidarity work. For example, the mutual aid networks that have cropped up all over the state. And so it's encouraging that one outcome of the pandemic is that, for example, in the Old North End, that mutual aid network is now set up. And a discouraging part is something that Mitch kind of touched on at the top of the hour, is that these problems are not new. They predate a lot of the issues that our neighbors are struggling with predate the pandemic, and they're not going to go away. A lot of these people have been unable to secure stable housing, unable to secure stable employment or really any security for years. And so some of the people in our network have actually expressed that they're, for their own material needs, they're kind of glad that COVID has happened, because at least now they have some support in the mutual aid networks, which most of the work that we do is supporting basic needs like groceries, that kind of thing. And so I think for me, my hope going forward is that for the rest of us who, like, this year has been, I'm a stay-at-home mom with a 2 and a 4-year-old and a person with special needs. And so, like, it's been a really hard year, and I know that I'll feel a great relief when I can start having, for example, families helping out with childcare again.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that for a lot of people who are in my material situation, where we are secure and stable, that once things go back to normal or whatever that is, that we can continue, we can start centering our neighbors who really are struggling and who the pandemic hasn't changed that much for, and are still really, really going to need our support going forward. And I hope also that maybe that some of this organizing that we have been doing can galvanize people to change some of the legislation that's coming out to center our neighbors who are in most need.
Well, Gabrielle, I think the fact that your community has started this mutual aid network is that first necessary and essential first step. And you're absolutely right that what can't happen is for, once everybody's vaccinated, once perhaps we achieve herd immunity, and we just can't say, okay, everything's fine now. It is not there. The problems that COVID has, again, put into much greater focus, they're still going to be there. And I think those problems were as insidious as COVID in some ways for those people affected most. We can't forget that. And I appreciate your phone call so much, because you're expressing the thoughts, I think, of many people who are saying, we have been struggling for a long time. And if COVID put a spotlight on this, that's maybe the worst way for it to happen, but it had to happen. And I think that's something we've all got to remember.
You know, Mitch, the other thing is I've got four kids. They're all grown up now and are adults. I think of what it must be like for people where both the father and mother are working at home because of the pandemic. They've got two or three kids who are doing remote learning. How these folks have been able to get through the last 12 months is just incredible to me. I mean, that had to be one of the most, or continues to be, one of the most difficult things for families to have to do.
Yeah, I think people have a great capacity to adjust and adapt. We as humans are good at that, even though we're not so good at some other things. What I do worry about is, again, the stresses that those that kind of remote learning places on families, and also those who simply can't do it because pre-pandemic, they didn't have access to high-speed internet. They didn't have access to a good computer. And now they're expected, and this is for the teachers too, they're expected to be able to teach over this via this method. They were not trained that way. For so many families that don't have that connection, I don't know how we're going to make them whole again, because we can't just forget about that. And it's something that I worry about a lot, especially here in Vermont, where we know that high-speed internet access is really a problem and has not been universal throughout this state for so long.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Julie, who's calling from Montpelier. Hi, Julie.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I've been so enjoying all these stories.
Oh, thanks,
well,
Julie.
We appreciate
I'm glad.
You calling in.
What's your story? Tell us how you're feeling.
Well, in March of last year, when everything was so uncertain and new, we invited my mother, who lives in Louisiana, to come ride it out with us here in Vermont. At the time, Louisiana was having a really rough time, which continued to be the case, you know, throughout the spring and summer. So we were so grateful to have her here. You know, as I've listened to Governor Scott in the COVID press briefings that you've broadcast, when he talks about the vaccinations and the age banding, a phrase that he kept coming back to was the notion of, you know, taking care of our elders the way they've always taken care of us.
Mm.
And that phrase kept coming back to me, you know, having my mother here. And it felt like such an amazing opportunity to show her, you know, some of the care and love she always gave me, you know, at a time in her life where, you know, we don't get to see her as often as we'd like, and she doesn't get to spend as much time with my kids as she would like. So it was just a really precious opportunity that I am really grateful to have had.
And Julie, is your mom still with you, or is she heading back to Louisiana? What's the plan?
Well, she is fully vaccinated and has gone back to Louisiana now. So, you know, she's pretty much feeling good about, you know, about the situation now. And so are we all.
Despite the circumstances that she was here under, did she enjoy her time in Vermont? I'm sure she enjoyed being with you.
Well, you know, that's is something I will always treasure, because she said to us a couple of days before she left that this had been one of the best years of her life.
Oh, wow.
And so with all the terrible things that have happened, you know, and our family has fared, you know, very well in comparison to many others, you know, that alone, you know, just being able to do that for all of us has been a real gift of this year.
Mm.
Julie, thanks very much for sharing that story with us. Let's turn to Mary, who's calling from St. Johnsbury. Hey, Mary, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. It's good to be here. Well, I just wanted to say it's actually worked out to be a good year for us. We're, my husband and I are both retired. I'm 85. And we depend on two Social Security incomes and a pension income and a part-time job, my husband has. And we have a steady income coming in, and so we just feel so bad about the people who have been devastated, and we don't know what to do with our money. One thing we did was resolve to buy everything local as much as we possibly could. Anything that came in a commercial package, we tried to get a local substitute, even to the point of driving out to the farm to get milk and pasteurizing it at home and things like that.
Wow.
And so we're sitting down tomorrow to write a lot of checks to the charities that we gave to last year, and we're looking for more. You know, we're trying to, I guess, to keep it local too. So we just feel awfully grateful that we feel secure in our income, and I just feel terrible for people who, you know, are struggling now and will continue to struggle. Otherwise, it's been a good year. Plenty of things for us to do. Free book clubs. I love to read anyway. And we take walks. And, you know, just walking down the street, you see two or three people that you know. And that's good, you know. So we don't feel lonely. But I just feel bad about those people who aren't secure.
Well, you know, Mary, you're doing your part. And just those little things you said, like, you know, shopping locally and writing out checks to local charities means so very much. Even if it doesn't feel like it too much, it's making an impact.
Mary, many thanks for your phone call. You know, Mitch, one thing I was thinking about just when Mary was talking to us, for some reason at the beginning of the pandemic, I started reading a lot more.
Yeah.
I would maybe read for a half hour, 45 minutes or an hour before going to bed, which was not usually my lifestyle. And it's something that has stayed with me the entire year. I have read more books in the last 12 months than I have in the previous 12 years.
That's fantastic.
And it's something that I really, really enjoy. I wonder if other people have had the same experience of picking something up, be it reading or a language or a musical instrument, and finding that it really becomes something part of your life that you really look forward to.
Yeah, I certainly hope that's the case. I mean, I love a good book. I just finished one that I loved, and The Cold Millions by Jess Walter. I'll just drop that in there. Great book. You know, and I started playing chess, actually, a few months ago.
Really?
My daughter and I have started. You know, neither of us are very good. We know how the pieces move. But just little things like that, you do have this extra time. You get sick of looking at screens after a while. You really do. And then a book, you'd never get sick of looking at a book. And playing chess is another way to do that, too.
Let's get a few more calls in during the program and talk to Winifred in Middletown. Hi, Winifred. Oh, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you. I hope this isn't going to be a bad call. My dogs are barking.
We love dogs. It's okay, Winifred.
Yeah, we love dogs.
We love them. Let them bark.
I'll try to go to a different room. what I wanted to call about was our bishop, Bishop Shannon McVain Brown. She is barely new to Vermont, but when the pandemic started and all our churches were closed, she right away began a Zoom program for 8 o'clock in the morning and 8 o'clock at night. So in the morning we have morning prayer, and in the evening we have compline together. And there's probably anywhere from 25 to, oh, sometimes it gets up to 100.
Wow.
But most of the time it's between 25 and 50 people that come together and pray every day. And these are people that, if I know them, I would see maybe once a year, but now I see them twice a day. And it's just been a wonderful experience.
Oh.
And people even from out of the state come and join us in these gatherings. And all of us, I think, are just really waiting for the time when we can all meet together in person and give those hugs that we all miss.
That's lovely, Winifred. That is so nice. I'm glad you're able to get a little extra time in there, even if it's by Zoom, with your faith community members there. That's lovely.
Let's see if we can get a quick call in from Jordan in Warren. Hi, Jordan. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me on. So we are a family that has some deep roots here in Vermont. My husband is a Burlington native. We got married in the Mad River Valley. And we've come up here a few times a year, every year. And when things started locking down last year, we safely decided to make our way up here in the summer. And once we got here, realized we didn't really want to go back to where we come from. So we enrolled the kids in school here. We've gotten jobs in the community here. And we are looking forward to staying here.
Wow, that's fantastic, Jordan. Where were you before? I'm sorry if you said that already. I missed it.
Yeah, we were just outside New York City in New Jersey.
Okay. And you have really adapted to Vermont, and you like it here.
We love it. Like I said, my husband is a Burlington native, so we feel like we are I'm a Vermonter-in-law. I take the state as a as a married folk. But yeah, we've wanted to make this move for a long time, and this was the opportunity. So when we talk about the year of silver linings, that's where we found ourselves living.
Jordan, can I ask you very briefly if you've been welcomed here? Have you been, you know, open arms, that kind of thing, from your neighbors?
Directly from our neighbors, yes, very much so. The community at the kids' school has been amazing. We've found a lot of other families who have done similar that we've done. So I know that there is some sentiments, and of course we live in a ski community, so there are a lot of folks who come and go,
right.
And we hear things through the grapevine, but to our face, and as a whole, we've felt very, very embraced here.
Excellent. Excellent.
Jordan, thanks so much for your phone call. Well, this has been a great discussion of how folks have coped with the impact of the coronavirus over the last 12 months. Hopefully, Mitch, if we do a program a year from today, our lives will be back to something closer to normal.
That would be nice.
And that we've been able to retain many of the positive impacts that we've discovered over the last year. Mitch, thanks so much for being part of the program today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, Bob, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.